and welcome to another episode of But Why, the podcast that's all about digging into big questions and tricky topics via honest conversations. This week, we're going to be looking at burnout. I've said that in a cheery voice. This is not a cheery subject, but still. And I am speaking to Caroline Duna, who is a humorist and storyteller. She spent years as a performer and darted like it was her job, because it kind of was. Until it wasn't, because her first book, The Fuck It Diet, is all about healing your relationship with food and moving away from diet culture. And her second book, and the reason we're going to have this conversation, is Tired As Fuck, which is a tale of exhaustion and burnout, and something I'm sure that so many of us can relate to. So without further ado, let's get cracking. I'd like to start with three questions. How are you really? What star sign are you? And what's your favourite crisps? Which are chips, American chips?
Oh, yeah. Okay. How am I really? Oh, what a question. It's so hard to answer that these days. I've for the past 2 years, I've been like, oh, like even in the grocery store, how are you doing? Oh, you know.
Borderline you know, mad, but okay.
Could be worse. Could be a lot better. I'm feeling like I was trying to ask myself this the other day. I feel neutral.
That's okay. Neutral's right. Good.
I feel like nothing's in a crisis right now. Mm-hmm. Like nothing in my life is in a crisis right now, but everything outside of my life seems to be falling apart. So
yeah, it's a very strange place to sit, isn't it? The world is a bit screwed, but I'm okay. It's
kind of the reality. I think I'm okay today.
Yeah. And favorite chips or crisps?
My favorite chips, I really like just plain salt Ruffles. For some reason, the Ruffles taste better to me than just the flat ones. I don't know what's up with that, but so I love the Ruffles.
We don't have Ruffles in this country. So Ruffles are holiday crisps.
Oh, yeah. They're so good. I don't know what it is about it. I don't know if it's there's more
ridges.
Places for the salt. Yeah, more places for the salt to get trapped. I don't know, but
why don't we have them in the UK? We have a lot of crisps, but not Ruffles because they're part of Lay's, aren't they? Are they?
Right. I know what it is. You guys just need to get some different potato cutters or something.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this is a really – they must have thought about it for a reason.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's who knows? So I'm going to go straight into the brutal stuff, but tell me about your burnout, I suppose, how it came about, how if you saw it coming, how you knew you'd got there.
Yeah. So what's interesting is it was about 5 years ago, and I knew that there was something wrong. I was like, I am having so much trouble focusing. I am like dreading everything on my schedule, everything in my life that I used to love doing. I can't even imagine mustering the strength. There was just something really, really off. And my first reaction, you know, which is the way that I'd kind of approached everything up until that point was, what's wrong with me? Why, you know, like what hack, like what, you know, method of self-help do I need to like remedy the situation and push through? Cause I was essentially a self-help addict at the time. And it kind of came after being a diet addict and a diet book, kind of zealot, but I would like go from diet to diet. It was like I was putting all my eggs in one basket. Oh my God, mm-hmm. This is going to be the thing that heals me. And then I sort of moved away from diets and put that all of that energy into self-help. So I reached this place where I was just so burnt out, but it didn't seem like I deserved to be burnt out. And it didn't seem at the time, you know, I just realized this as I've been talking to people about my story and about, you know, talking about the book, I didn't realize I was burnt out. I thought I was tired. I didn't even use the word burnout until a couple years after when I was like, oh my God, that's what that was. That's what that was. I was explaining it as, oh, I'm just really tired. And it's more than just physical exhaustion, which is, you know, as we talk more about burnout, my kind of big belief about burnout at this point and what we miss about burnout is that it's kind of a bigger mind, body, spirit situation that we get ourselves into, it's not just physical. Mm. Yes, it is physical. We do become physically exhausted, and physical rest can be very helpful. But usually we are burnt out. It's not just, oh, we've been working really, really hard. Oh, we haven't been sleeping enough. It's usually these mental and emotional causes of burnout that coincide with it. And a lot of that, the way that that manifests for a lot of people is guilt over resting, or guilt over just sort of the way that we approach our lives. Like, oh, I should be doing something different. Oh, I'm not doing this right. Oh, people are really going to judge me for this. That is extremely depleting, especially for years on end, especially if we're not even aware that that's how the back of our mind is constantly working. So there's this mental and emotional piece to burnout that can really, really run people down. And then if they think that that rest and physical rest is all they need, like, oh, I just need to go on a 2-week vacation and, you know, sleep and I'll get back and I'll be fine. You know, that might help. But if you're in this very, very unsustainable dynamic with your life and the way you treat yourself and the way you kind of schedule your life and the way you approach it, it's just going to happen again. Mm. So there's more that goes into, you know, if the causes of your burnout are physical, mental, and emotional, it's going to be a physical, mental, and emotional journey to get to back to a place that is a bit more sustainable. So for me, I was like, I don't deserve to be tired. Like looking around at the other people, I don't have kids. I don't, like, there are all of these reasons that I should be fine. I should be perfectly fine. But I was ignoring the fact that for the previous at least 15 years of my life, since I was, you know, in eighth grade, I had been feeling like I was never doing enough. I was never allowed to relax. I felt guilty every single time I had downtime. And so it was just this kind of like slow, constant depletion from nonstop low-grade anxiety and feeling guilty about, you know, it was all based on these beliefs about what I should be doing or how impressive I should be or when I'm allowed to actually relax. Never, you know, never. So I think that that's way more common. I think that kind of like approach to life is very, very common because it's what we're rewarded for and it's what we're, without words, told that we should be doing. There's this belief like, oh, well, when I get to that place in that house with that job and that amount of money and that, you know, partner and that all of, and that, you know, business, then I can relax. Mm. That never happens. Never, ever happens. Because once we get there, we have a new goal. So we never relax. And that, I mean, I really believe that this is one of the big reasons that we get burnt out. And because we don't even realize that we're operating in this extremely depleting way where we are never good enough. We are never allowed to relax. And so rest and relaxation, well, we think, okay, all right, I understand, I get it, I'm tired, I need to take some downtime. And then when we're taking the downtime, we feel stressed and guilty and anxious about it the whole time. So we just stay in the cycle. So it was, for me, I had this kind of like epiphany almost where I was like, oh my God, like I have been absolutely like cruel to myself and just I've never relaxed. Never. I didn't even know I was allowed to. And then once I started thinking that I needed to, I didn't know how, and I felt guilty about it. And it just hit me like, I don't want to live like this. And this is what everyone's doing. And this is what I'm going to continue to do to myself if I don't change something up, if I don't get really deliberate about, okay, what can I change? Because it's not like I couldn't stop working. When I tell people, you know, the book is about the exhaustion, like the dynamics that exhausted me, and then hopefully people can kind of draw their own conclusions about their own exhaustion through my own experience. And then the 2 years of rest, I called it this like epic 2 years of rest that I embarked on. Mm-hmm. And while I was embarking on the 2 years of rest and I was sharing about it, you know, with the readers of The Fuck It Diet, because I wrote this blog at the time called The Fuck It Diet. It turned into a book called The Fuck It Diet. But at the time, I was writing the book and I was sharing with all of my followers on Instagram and all my podcast listeners, I was saying, I am exhausted and I'm on 2 years of rest. Mm. I'm just burnt out and I'm doing the bare minimum. I'm still clearly doing some clearly I'm still podcasting and I'm still, working, but there are so many things in my life that I have let go of mm-hmm. and let myself say no to. And I moved cities. I moved from New York to Philadelphia because I couldn't afford to do less in New York, A lot of people assumed that my 2 years of rest was me not doing anything, like nothing for 2 years. And it's funny because they didn't realize like doing a podcast and doing this and, running your own business, even if you're trying to kind of pare down what you do, it's still, takes a lot of energy, but mm-hmm. it was really about looking at the things that I thought I had to do. I really, really like, I must keep up this part of my career. I must keep up this part of my business. I must keep up this kind of social life. I must stay in New York. It's a failure if I leave New York. Mm-hmm. All of these beliefs that I didn't even examine that were leading to things I was forcing myself to do. And things I was forcing myself to believe about myself and the way that I was talking to myself that was able to keep me exhausted. Like it was all of these other things that I just assumed I had to do or I assumed I had to be. So I know that that's kind of vague, but
no. Speaking to me in such a like massive way. I think I'm listening to you and there's such parallels to the awakening of diet culture. You know, I've been through a very similar journey, up until my early 30s, maybe a bit more, every diet going because and I didn't even know that was a disordered way of being. Right. I was like, this is just normal. You diet. Right. You diet after Christmas. You diet before a holiday. You start a diet again on a Monday.
Right.
You hate carbs. You et cetera, et cetera. All of this until eventually it's so parallel, isn't it?
Yes.
So until I tied myself in such a knot with my rules about what this diet was, I actually would look in the fridge and be like, just didn't know how to eat anymore. Not in an extreme eating disorder way. I was so confused with the dialogue in my head. And it's so funny, this exactly what you're describing again. You go, oh my word, I have completely bought into the idea that I must be running my business, that I must be a great friend, that I must be a great partner, that I should be going and doing this. And then even when you go through that list, it's unachievable. But
it is.
But we are so deeply in it that you don't even know that is not a great way to be because you just exist in this churn of it, don't you?
Yeah. And that's exactly, and that, it was a gift in a way because I had been through healing my relationship with food 5 years before mm-hmm. my burnout. And it was this unlearning, right? It was this, oh my God, I have all these beliefs about the way I'm supposed to look and the way I'm supposed to eat and what my appetite's supposed to be like and all of this stuff about health and dieting and food and weight and worth and all of this stuff that like realizing how kind of indoctrinated I was into this belief system that was not that I thought was good for me, but was actually like terrible for me. And this, one of the things that I talk about a lot with food is like, so many of us think that we are food addicts because we cannot control ourselves around food, but we don't understand that living in a culture that's obsessed with dieting, that tells you you're constantly eating too much, tells you that your body is wrong, and then putting yourself on an actual physical diet will directly make us feel out of control around food and act like a food addict. So it's this thing of like, you're a food addict when the actual issue is you're actually not eating enough food and not allowing yourself to, you're hungry. And if you're not physically hungry, you're mentally hungry because you feel guilty all of the time about the way that you're eating. It's like the exact same thing as, oh my God, I am exhausted. What is wrong with me?
Yeah.
Why am I so lazy? Why can't I just push through and do all the things that Sarah down the street is doing? Mm. actually Sarah down the street may be suffering too, or doesn't even know, you know, hasn't hit her
wall
yet.
You just don't know what's going on for Sarah.
And we are living in a culture that's like, you can and should do everything, and you can and should do everything amazingly and impressively and look really, really good while you're doing it too.
And enjoy it.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the mad thing, is like, you're meant to be enjoying this. And then you're like, oh, wow, I am doing all this thing, but am I having a nice time? Because I'm not entirely sure I am.
Exactly.
But it's really, I love this food analogy, because that same thing, when you come out of the other side of diet culture and you go, you know, whatever you want to call it, intuitive eating, start learning just how to eat in a way where you trust your body, you're just like, oh, wow, how did I make it so complicated for so long? Because if I just eat when I'm hungry, the first stage of that is you may eat a bit more than you once did, but it does level out.
And that's the same thing with rest. There are many people who are like, I'm so burnt out, because once you allow yourself to start eating, it's like your body's like, oh, we're doing this? Okay, I'm starving. And it's terrifying to people, because every message we get in our culture is, you know, do not give in to your hunger. It is bad. It is dangerous. You will never come back, you know, when really it's this pendulum swing. And then once you feel fed, it gets a lot more balanced.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with rest, where your body's like, oh my God, really? Oh my God, we're really going to rest. And a lot of people are like, I am like more, I've started resting. I've started letting myself off the hook, and I'm so tired. It's terrifying to people, because they're like, is something really wrong with me? Is this ever going to end? Like, maybe, you know, maybe it's this fear of like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be doing this, because this is like,
like, whatever this is next.
Exactly.
And it's that narrative in your head, you know, of, oh, well, once I stop, I'm just going to turn into a terrible, lazy person.
Exactly.
But actually, there is no such thing as a terrible, lazy person, you know, as long as that person is fulfilling what they need to do in their life to survive in a happy, healthy way. But
exactly.
That's held up as like the worst possible example of someone you should be. And it's just like, yeah, it's this hustle culture, isn't it? And this, always on. It's always on all the time. And I found myself doing it. You know, I get one project out the door and I have that moment of, oh, it's out the door. And my brain, the next minute, is like, well, what should we pick up instead?
Exactly.
Literally can't allow that little bit of emptiness.
Yeah. And I think there's two big reasons for that. I think the first reason is that we have accidentally started using busyness as sort of like a drug, like sort of like a behavioral addiction. Mm-hmm. It's again, very similar to having any sort of disordered eating and micromanaging your body. It's this very, very socially acceptable distraction. So it's
numbing.
It numbs and it distracts us from all of the painful stuff that ideally, if we were all raised with like really good emotional intelligence, we would understand that emotions are meant to be felt. We need to process it. If we're not in our bodies feeling, we're gonna, you know, probably have some unprocessed stuff or even unprocessed trauma. All of the stuff that we just don't learn, like we're forced to learn it on our own as adults, if we ever learn it at all. And instead we are going from behavioral addiction to behavioral addiction, or substance addiction to substance addiction, as a way to just feel okay. But it's this unsustainable thing that eventually, you know, we may, if we're lucky, realize, okay, this is not going to work. And there's some stuff I need to actually kind of sort through, process, feel. So it's literally just a way to distract from the uncomfortable stuff. That's one thing. And the other thing is kind of like what I was saying about it being this socially acceptable thing. You're very rewarded for it and you're very praised for it. And that's really hard to let go of too. It's really hard to also see that it's dysfunctional if you get a lot of praise for it. But I think it really started, and it starts in school, where there is one way to be good and get good grades, and it's to follow all the rules, to just be constantly on, and to, you know, we get rewarded by following the one way to be good and impressive and smart. And it's we know enough to say like, oh, well, but there are different learning styles and there are different ways of being smart. And there are, you know, like we're not all supposed to become mathematicians. So what about the other areas of life? And what about trade? And what about all of this, you know, trade school and all this stuff? What about emotional intelligence? What about like learning to, you know, deal with our emotions? What about all of this stuff that we just don't learn in school? There's just one way and it correlates exactly to the corporate world, being a productive, impressive mm-hmm. person, making a lot of money, and then growing old and being like, where did my life go? You know?
What have I been working towards?
Yeah.
This like, it's that same thing of with a diet when you've got this idea of a weight or a size or whatever. And then, you know, I never got to my ideal thing because of course it was an unachievable thing, but I got close to it. Mm-hmm. And it was like some of the unhappiest times of my life. And it's mm-hmm. just like these false things that we're pointing towards that, yeah, that rob us of kind of the experience of now. It is absolutely insane. But I also think we've got, it's a very default to blame technology, but we've taken all the pause moments out of our lives, haven't we? There's none. There's no sitting on the sofa. There's no standing in a queue.
God. No. And for all my talk, I'm a mess.
Yeah.
I am a mess with technology. Like it hit me, you know, this year, last year, I was like, oh God, like, actually, when I was going through my 2 years of rest, I was not this addicted to technology. Yes, I used it. Yes, I scrolled. But it was not something that I like. It wasn't as much of a like compulsion to check everything. And I'm cleaning. I better put on a podcast. Like I'm re-realizing it is never silent. I've just started in the past week or two. I've started doing – this is something that I put in my first book, The Fuck It Diet. 10-minute lie down. It's the simplest meditation you'll ever do.
Just
get
lie
in bed,
down.
Close your eyes for 10 minutes, and don't consume any content. Mm. Like just, you're allowed to think. You don't have to stop your brain. You don't have to do any, you don't have to do anything, but just like give it a pause. Mm. Give it a pause. It sounds too basic to be helpful, but it's actually one of those things. It's like, it's so basic and it's so rare these days that it is that profound, that it is that like, I've just started again in the past week and it's like it's the best thing. It's like my brain like does this unwinding and I like,
it's so obvious. And the mad thing is, this is what I always think. I'm so busy like, trying to be 10 steps ahead, trying to figure out what to cook for dinner. And, you know, I'm thinking then I must go to the shop and must do this. And then I've done this thing occasionally, like you're saying, lie down for 10 minutes and your subconscious can actually do some figuring out. And you're like, oh no, you've got this in the fridge. You don't need to go. So not only have you had a lie down, I've just saved you 20 minutes of stress.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's this thing. Like where does our subconscious, where does our intuition pipe up? It doesn't pipe up when we're constantly like rabidly, you know, doing things
consuming.
And trying to think. It happens in this downtime. It happens in the shower. It happens in that quiet moment that we rarely take because I'm listening to a stupid podcast in the shower.
Yeah. And again, it's always like, oh, what else can I do? Oh, I'm sitting on a train. Well, I can do my online shop, but look out the window. And we're all preaching this and then don't do it because you're desperately trying to get to the end of a to-do list.
I know.
That is unachievable. Do you think, I think it is like the diet thing. You've got to really fight yourself. You know, the day I kind of gave up dieting, those first couple of months are very exposing.
Yes.
Because you're rewiring everything. And actually, I don't drink either. And when I gave up drinking, it kind of rewired everything I thought I knew about myself and society and my habits and what I hid behind. But it is self-accountability, isn't it?
Yes. And you know what's interesting? When I went on my 2 years of rest, I'm not sober, but I just knew. I was like, something is wrong and I don't feel good physically. And when I drink, even just one drink, I feel horrible. It's like my body, like there's something, yeah, there's something wrong. I mean, clearly, I don't know what's going on with these people who are totally fine, you know, drinking all the time, but I just can't, like, I can't do it. And if I'm tired and it messes up my sleep, like I'm just wake up tired every day when I'm drinking. And I was like, if I really want to rest and have any chance of actually feeling rejuvenated, I have to stop for at least for, it was for the 2 years. And you know, I think probably over the course of 2 years, I had like 3 glasses of wine. Like I didn't totally, and I would have a half glass. I'd be like, I'll order one. I'll have a couple sips. But I just knew there's something really off with this. And there's something really, really depleting about alcohol in my life right now.
Yeah.
And because my issue with it wasn't emotional, I knew it was physical. So I didn't know, I knew that it, for me, it didn't have to be like a 100% cold turkey sober, but, man, I am so thankful that I did that. And I drink so much less than I ever did before, because I now can feel it's so clear. 2 years of not drinking barely at all. Like when I have a drink or two now, I'm like, this sucks. Like this feels horrible after 45 minutes. It's 45 minutes of fun. And then it's like, whoa, God.
Yeah. I mean, that's always the thing for me, you know, a bit like with the food, was my relationship with alcohol not great? Was there bits of it? Yes. But ultimately the thing that stopped me is that it triggered my anxiety in such a terrible way, ruined my sleep, stopped me exercising, made me eat rubbish, all that kind of perfect storm for my mental health. But what I always think is that I see people drinking and then complaining about anxiety, and it comes all with this same thing. Like anxiety is a condition, of course, but you're also, when your body, when you feel anxious, it's your body trying to give you a really loud, clear message to do something different. Stop drinking, go to bed, put some nice food in me.
Yes.
But we try and treat the anxiety, not what the cause of the anxiety is, I think.
Yeah. And it's huge. It's so, yeah, there are, in my opinion, there are many different causes of anxiety, many different factors that go into anxiety. You know, there are some people who are just born genetically anxious, chemical imbalance. But then there are all these other compounding issues that are only going to make it worse. So can we look at these? So, you know, there's some anxiety that we can do something about, you know, we can get medicated, we can all of these things, but there are lifestyle things too that we don't realize are also just adding to the pile.
Yeah.
And for me, alcohol was one of those things. For me, and for many of us, it was these beliefs too about what I was supposed to be doing and what, you know, when was allowed to be relaxing, never. And all of the things that I was forcing myself to do. So when I was able to sort through just even a couple of those things, no, it didn't 100% cure my anxiety. I still have anxiety, but it was the biggest relief. I mean, I felt a marked, humongous sense of relief when I shifted those things in my life.
Same for me. I suffered with anxiety, and changing those things just took the overall sense of anxiety away from me. There are still things, and actually I'm now usually better at pinning that to something. I rarely get that just low level anxiety feeling anymore.
Here's the thing, is that when you just have a million causes of anxiety, it's impossible to figure out where it's coming from and if there's anything that you can do about it, because it's just this overwhelm. But if you can slowly start going through and unpacking, you know, even just belief by belief by belief, then when you feel it, you can say, okay, is this stemming from a belief that I can actually identify because I have more awareness around the way in my head? Is this stemming from something physical? Like what can, there's a lot more ability to kind of sort through once you start. That's a hard thing. Like I talk about like our mind being this like tangled knot, you know, before we start sorting it through. And it can be so overwhelming to figure out like, okay, well, what's the first knot that I need to, you know, and it's so hard to but once you start slowly but surely, then it's easier to see the whole picture and to actually get at all the other knots, if that
and
makes
actually,
sense.
I'm wondering if it's sometimes the thing right in front of you. So last week I had a lot of podcasts booked up and I was just like, and I had one on the Friday morning. I just couldn't work out how I was going to do the prep for it. And then I woke up and I was like, oh no, you're self-employed. It's your podcast. You can just move it, Chloe. And then I messaged a girl and she was like, oh my word, thank goodness. I can't fit it in either, really, but I didn't want to let you down.
I know, that's so common. Last week I was supposed to have a call with a journalist and I was so sick that day. Like I was so brain fogged. I was like, had this headache. I was like, oh, I can't cancel it. I'm just going to power through. And she texted me and said, Caroline, I'm feeling under the weather. I'm so sorry to ask this, but is it okay if we move it to later in the week? And I was like, yes.
And
please.
And if we normalize that a bit.
I know.
Because then hopefully you can show up for people in your capacity and able to do, because it's self-fulfilling, you know. You do that interview or the podcast half cut, you're not that pleased with the result. You tell yourself you're failing, yada, yada, yada. Whereas it's amazing, you know, a couple of nights sleep, a slightly bit more flex in your schedule. You're like, oh no, that thing that was, like you say, in the peak of burnout, when you're looking at your schedule and you can't even do the replying to the emails.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, a bit of a pause away from it. And you go, oh, right, yeah, I can just ping out all these emails in
exactly.
half an hour.
Exactly.
But it's so obvious, but we fail to see. Yeah. And we're all
I know. And it's hard because you don't want to let people down. You don't want to let yourself down. But, you know, during, and I've kind of, you know, scaled this back a little bit because I actually generally do have more energy, like so much more energy than I had 5 years ago. But when I went into my 2 years of rest, I was like, okay, one of my big focuses is going to be if I do not have energy for something, no questions asked. I am allowed to not do it. I'm allowed to reschedule. I'm allowed to whatever I need to do. Obviously, there are things you can't just never do, no. right? But if I need to reschedule it, I will reschedule it. If I need to find a way to make it more, you know, approachable, I'm going to do that. And I'm not going to let myself feel guilty about it. Because my mode before was guilt, 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 guilt. And so I knew, okay, if I'm going to try and change the way I approach this and genuinely honor my exhaustion that I'm in right now, I know guilt is going to come up. And my goal is to be just so aware. My goal is to be so aware of the guilt when it comes up, because I'm now aware that guilt is one of the things that's depleting me. Yes. So if I can be really aware of it, when it comes up, I can say, oh, there it is. I expected you. And then go further to say, okay, where is this guilt coming from?
Yeah.
Why do I feel this? What stupid belief is making this guilt bubble up? But it was like this radical permission to say no, reschedule, cancel things, say, I'm so sorry. You know, even just this thing of this is the shift, right? And I think people will probably think that this is irresponsible, but saying, I'm so sorry, I cannot fit that into my schedule. Even if your next day is the day that you've cleared because you need it and you say you don't do more than one, you know, interview a day or something, and you technically have 2 hours right there, but you know yourself enough to know that you need that time, you're allowed to say, I do not have the time, because you don't. You've put aside that time. You're using that time for something else. You're using that time
to rest.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I think that's it's just a mental shift of people feel like, well, I'm not, but I do have the time and I should. And what does it mean about me if I say no? And what is it? Am I ever going to do anything ever again? Is this irresponsible? Am I late? And all of these things that keep us saying yes to everything.
And the mad thing is we don't apply that rule to others. It's not like if someone just to reply to me and say, oh, I'm busy, could we reschedule? Or, you know what, I'm really tired out. Would you mind if we did? I would never think badly of them.
I'd be like, amazing.
Good for you.
Yeah, exactly.
And if we have that dialogue more, you know, it's the same with friends. And sometimes you do need to be nudged, not just to end up in your pajamas every night.
Right.
But again, having to put these elaborate rules where, you know, these elaborate lies, just say, I'm really sorry, I'm tired out, I'd love to see you.
Yes.
And your most favorite people you will always find time for. And if to be honest, it feels like a massive drain of energy.
It's a sign. It is. And that was one of the things, again, that was actually one of the other big focuses in my 2 years of rest, because for me specifically, I felt really tapped out socially. I had been like just going so hard for so many years. And it's this thing where, like, I really believe everybody needs a different kind of rest, because there are people who have just been working so hard for so many years, and what they need is more social time. You know, that will actually be rejuvenating for them. But I knew, I was like, I'm also really burnt out socially. And so I'm going to need to start getting comfortable saying no and explaining, you know, to my good friends, I explain, like, I'm really burnt out. Like, I need to, like, overhaul the way I'm operating. And just like you said, the good friends, the people who actually heard you, didn't care. And I did get to a place, like, it worked, because I did get to a place where I genuinely was like, I want to see people.
Yeah.
I want to do things. But it took me a while. Mm. Like, I was that tired that I needed, like, that's why I knew I needed 2 years. And again, it's not like I didn't do anything. It's not like I didn't go to my best friend's wedding. You know, it's not like I wasn't like engaging in life. I was just saying no a lot more, and then working through the guilt that came up when I said no.
That's interesting. In fact, I saw someone posting again about alcohol. She's like, I'm not sober, but my default is no, but there are still yeses. And I think that might be it. Like, you don't want to be your default to say no to every opportunity, but to sit a bit closer to that. Like,
yes.
If it isn't something that is going to, the thing is, you always know you get a work offer or a social offer, and you know when you receive that email or text, that in your heart of hearts, you don't want to do it.
Exactly. And then you say yes, and then you stress about it. And then, exactly.
You know, the stuff that is genuinely brilliant for whatever, socially or for your career, or that would come easy to you, you'll just say yes to. Yeah. But your intuition knows.
That's the other thing. That's the huge thing. I noticed very quickly that when I gave myself permission to say no to the things that I knew that I did not have the energy for, or that I didn't want to be doing as much of anymore, I had so much more free time to say yes and to focus on the things that I genuinely wanted to do. Mm. And one of those things was writing the Fuck It Diet book. One of those things was running the kinds of workshops I was excited about and not the kinds of workshops I was forcing myself to, you know, it was all this stuff where, like, it sounds cliche. It sounds like too good to be true, but, like, make a vacuum in your life and you will be able to fill it with the things that actually want. Yeah, the things that you're actually meant to be doing. I mean, there's so much that I actually did in those 2 years that I'm so happy about that are still, like, that actually kind of redirected my life in the direction I actually wanted to be going in.
Mm.
But if I had given into the fear of, like, well, I can't say no because I'm going to be giving up all of these other opportunities and people aren't going to like me and people are going to be annoyed and all of those opportunities, like, but maybe I should be a speaker. Maybe I should be traveling the country doing, like, speaking. That was the last thing I wanted to do. But I was like, well, maybe I should. And it's like, no, you don't want to. You don't have the energy for that. You don't. And you just quit act. That was one of the big things. I was an actor in New York, and that was one of the hugest energy sucks on my life, because it was this big, like, I can't quit. You know, I put all this time into it. I put all this energy into it. I majored in, I had an agent, like, all of this stuff, right? All these beliefs, like, you have to do it. It's a failure if you quit. But I hated it. I'd gotten to the point where I hated the lifestyle, and I hated auditioning. I hated it. And I'd been so depleted for the 15 years before, because every day it was like, okay, what dress do I have to wear to look really good, like, this part, and go and, like, impress them. And it was a thing with, you know, I was getting at the time, 5 years ago, I was getting all of these speaking opportunities because the Fuck It Diet was growing. And I was like, this is the last thing I want to do, because it reminds me so much of acting and auditioning and going and being like, hi, do you guys like me? Am I going to impress you with my thing? But I felt so guilty. I was like, but if I really want to be successful, this is how people really make money. And it was this whole thing. Like, I had to be like, no, I don't want to. I don't want to do it. And I don't have the energy. Mm. And if ever I'm going to do it, now is not the time. Because I'm so burnt out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was the big fear. Oh no, what's going to happen to me? it's okay. It all turned out okay. I focused on other things that actually were not depleting to me. And, you know, if I want to start speaking, I still can, you know?
But you probably don't want to. And that's one. And that's the thing. Again, I'm tying it back to all the food stuff, because it just, all those times when I didn't eat a brownie because you shouldn't eat a brownie, but brownies are bloody great.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
They bring you so much joy. And actually, if you have a brownie when you want one, then you actually also end up really wanting salad as well.
Exactly. Exactly. And you won't like reach, you know, 11 o'clock at night and be like, I think I need to have a brownie, and then you have seven, you know?
No. But it feels like a really similar thing. If you allow yourself to do more of the great stuff and the stuff that fills you up, which whether that be resting or work projects you like or meeting people you genuinely love, then you have got more capacity, because we all have to do the adult thing.
Right.
Some bits we don't enjoy, of course.
Exactly.
But it's swinging the balance, isn't it? It's not going in this way, oh, I must endure all this awful stuff to earn 2 weeks holiday once every
exactly. Well, it's this thing, like, we're not looking at the physical and emotional drain of doing things we despise, being around people that are stressful, all of these things that we're like, we don't kind of understand how much that can deplete us. And then of course we don't have energy for our emails or organizing our tax papers, you know, like, of course we don't, because we're drained from doing stupid shit that we think we're supposed to do, but it's actually just, even just like, you know, being in the wrong, this is a huge thing, but like being in the wrong career for you is inherently going to drain you because it's going to take so much more effort to do what you have to do than to be doing some. And I understand it's easy for us to say this, right? We've like found something that feels aligned, but I'm sure we weren't always doing this, you know? We had to like navigate to the life that didn't constantly deplete us.
Mm-hmm. And also that, you know, when you're saying work towards a career that fills you up, that isn't like, again, like, I'm not saying quit your job tomorrow,
right?
But you know, often that can be changing things within that existing job, or at least pointing towards something.
There's a lot of beliefs about what, you know, I'm not the best person to speak to, like, working in an office environment, because I haven't worked in an office environment for 10 years, but you know, I think there are a lot of beliefs about what we have to do and the kind of jobs that we have to have and the kind of relationship we have to have with our work, the kind of availability we have to have. Somebody DM'd me the other day and they said, I didn't realize that I could talk to my boss and say, this is the part of my job that I really enjoy and that I feel really, really good at. And this is the part of my job that I don't enjoy as much and I don't think I'm as good at. Could I be doing more of this? And they were like, okay. Like they were like, I didn't realize even do that. But but I did it. And now even within this job that, you know, I'm not in charge of the, you know, the company or the job that I have, but I was able to advocate for myself and shift what my actual day to day looks like in a way that like is going to allow me to be less depleted in the big picture. So I think, and of course not everyone's gonna be able to do that. Everyone's situation is different, but I do think that we have these kind of like these beliefs about the way it has to be that we don't even let ourselves question. And we definitely don't let ourselves explore whether that's even true or not, you know?
Yeah, we're so used to things being hard, equaling that's good, you're really working for it. You know, when, again, this is speaking for myself, but when things come easy, sometimes I'm like, well, that can't be quite right.
Right. Know? No, completely. Completely.
I haven't earned that. But you have earned it, because you spent however long putting your time into whatever.
Completely. Even like over the past, like my, you know, this book, Tired as Fuck, came out just over a week ago. And having people say to me, oh my God, Carolyn, I'm loving it so much. You're such a good writer. My response has been like, first I'm like, thank you. And then I'm like, I didn't go to school for writing. Like, are they wrong? Like, how did that happen? Like, maybe it's just like a fluke. Like, there's a part of me that's like, well, it should have been harder to become a good writer. Mm. Right. So this is like, this could all fall apart at any moment. Like I still have that, awful. You know,
or already, like, as soon as you publish thinking, well, I need better be thinking of the next book.
Oh, completely. Of course, it's never enough. I was just thinking the other day, speaking of what we were talking about earlier, when I take my dog for a walk in the woods, I bring my phone. I started bringing my phone because I wanted to make sure I didn't get lost, right? But then I was like, this is when it really like came to a head, when I was like, oh my God, I'm in the woods. It's gorgeous. It just snowed, all this stuff. And I'm looking at my phone and like seeing what's happening.
Checking anything.
I left my phone in the car the last time we went a couple of days ago.
Well done.
And I had all, I was like, it was like magic. I just like had all these ideas. Like I've been struggling. Like, what am I going to do next? What do I want to write about? A million ideas came. And one of them was, I need to write about the fact that if you had told me where I would be even 5 years ago, two books out, you know, this kind of feedback, this, you know, these kind of opportunities, this kind of following on social media, I would be like, wow, I must be like so happy and so content and so calm and just like everything is, I bet everything is perfect. Mm. And all I'm thinking of is like, oh my God, like,
can't enjoy it.
This is overwhelming. And I don't know what I'm going to do. And oh my God, having so many followers, this is crazy. And I hate everyone. Or like, it's unbelievable. Mm. And that's the way we think about everything. We're like, they must be so happy and so fulfilled and so like, just like calm and every single day. And they know exactly what they're, look at their career. They know exactly what they're doing. I have no fucking idea what I'm doing.
No.
I have no idea.
But you're learning. But this, again, actually, this ties me back to a question I was going to ask you earlier about the self-help thing, which I'm really, really, of course, really into that. But actually, that can become a hindrance because you're like, you've got so many points of reference to layer into whatever you're feeling at any one time. You're also trying to navigate that, you know, you're like, is this my attachment style? Or is this, I don't know, you can do sado stuff on yourself when actually... Yes. Sometimes, exactly like you're saying, go for a walk in the woods without your phone, lie on the bed without anything going on, and you can. That's how you figure it out.
Well, that's the craziest thing. And again, I'm not anti self-help at all.
No,
like, I really think I think that in some ways it took me on some detours, right? Like some of them weren't so helpful, but in general, I think I've been able to figure out a lot of stuff in my life because of different various self-help books. And self-help, you know, working on yourself is not a bad thing, but of course we can also use that as a distraction, especially if we're going in the wrong direction. What I think the best overall advice is, and there are many different ways to do this, is to come back into your body, to be willing to come back into your body, to feel, to process, to be open, to have downtime. That is where the healing is, right? Like there's a lot of kind of very cerebral self-help that I think has its place. But I think true healing and true intuition and our true wisdom happens embodied in the body. And there are a million different ways to do this, a million different methodologies to like get you back into your body, feeling and processing. And to, you know, meditation, right? And whatever that, and what that means is genuine downtime, whatever that looks like. You know, I think meditation is very daunting to people, myself included, because it's uncomfortable and it's kind of like, I don't understand why I'm doing this, but that's why I try to make it as simple as I can for myself of like, get in bed for 10 minutes and turn your phone off.
Yeah, that's be comfy. Yeah, because again, we can be guilty, I was thinking earlier, of trying to making relaxation quite elaborate. You know, for a while I was obsessed with the idea of going on a 10-day silent retreat. Now that is my brain going to the extreme to try and blimmin' well switch off. It's like, well, how about you just put your phone down
at
8 o'clock and go to bed at 9?
Sometimes that's harder, I know. But what we want, here's the other thing, like, yeah, a 10-day silent retreat could be great. You could have amazing revelations. But what we really need is to figure out how to integrate that into our real lives.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we're going to come back and snap right back into our mode from before. So that's why the idea of quitting your life and, you know, going and living on an island for 2 years for your 2 years of rest.
Yeah.
Like, okay, if you can afford that and you think that that's right for you, fine. But if you ever have any plans of coming back, then what? You know, like it's better to have to try and figure out how to bring more rest into your life and a more restful outlook and a kinder way of relating to yourself in your real life, because that's how it's going to be, you know?
Yeah. So that's kind of a really great pace to wiggle towards an ending. You had your two years of rest, which I absolutely love. And then what do you have? Is it habits that you have now in your day-to-day life, or is it just a lens and a conversation that you have with yourself?
Yeah. Well, so yeah, that's a lot of people are like, okay, so was it exactly two, like what happened? What happened then? How did you know that your rest was over? For me, a lot of it was actually really similar to my relationship with food, where it was like, if I can just allow this allow this natural healing process, I believed that I could get to a place where my body genuinely had more balance, where it was easier without effort, right? And that was the case for me. Not that there weren't things, like plenty of things to unlearn. Like it was a lot of unlearning, but it was a very similar thing with rest. I was so tired that I really needed to just kind of allow that and then see, okay, like is this going to kind of handle itself, or am I going to have to claw my way out of this rest? And at the 2 year mark, I was like, okay, you know, I think, you know, I'm going to keep a lot of the mode that I'm going, because I don't know that I'm ready to I kind of needed a little bit more, honestly. And it was around maybe the 2.5-3 year mark that I was like, you know what? I genuinely, because I know that we're wrapping up, but I just want to say really quickly, the way that burnout manifests for a lot of people is a lack of enthusiasm for the things that used to bring them joy, or for the things that they're forcing themselves to do. And that's how I felt. And over time, I started getting excited about and genuinely interested in doing some of the things that I hadn't had the energy to do 2 years before. And that, just like my relationship with food, where I was like, oh my God, I genuinely feel calm around this food that I was terrified of and binged on, you know, a year ago. I genuinely don't feel like it has power over me. It was a very similar thing to be like, oh my God, I genuinely want to go out and see my friends, or I genuinely have energy and enthusiasm for these things that I was just too depleted to have any excitement over. So I was able to really notice, okay, there's a genuine shift just in the way that I want to engage with my life. But the biggest irony is when I truly was, it was 2020 that I was like, all right, this is my year. I'm going to start going out to dinner with my friends.
It's going
to
be brilliant.
So that was like my,
wow.
Fucking kidding me. I've already rested. Everyone was like, oh, these two weeks are a great like time to, you know, or it's okay. It's just a couple months of like, you know, doing less. And I was like, oh, I've been doing less.
I'm ready to do more.
3 years. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. So you've ended up having like the best part of 4 years on a very different kind of journey.
Yeah. So it, I really do believe that if you are truly tired and you give yourself genuine time to rest, that your body and your psyche will actually, like, I really believe that the body and the mind are very intelligent. And if you give it what it needs, it really can kind of self-correct and self-heal. I did have to, you know, I think what I want to say is, while I was still tired, I had some anxiety that I would always be tired. And the less I did, I kind of like, I did develop almost like a little bit of social anxiety, because I wasn't used to, I was trying to relearn how to navigate things that I had been operating in a different way. And I was like trying to figure out, okay, well, what does deplete me and who does deplete me and what situations are great and what aren't? Like I learned I was an introvert. Like I didn't even know that I was. I thought I was an extrovert because I was like, I'm able to fake it. But I really do believe that resting can get you to a place where you're just less depleted and life is less overwhelming. Just like you were saying, like, even on the micro, right? if you take a couple of days off, if you give yourself a couple good nights of sleep, going through your emails isn't going to be as overwhelming. And then on the macro, on a bigger scale, I really believe that happens as well.
Yeah, it's exactly, to go back to the beginning, if you're hungry, eat. Yeah. And don't eat when you're not hungry.
Exactly.
And we've just overcomplicated things for ourselves.
By
trying to find answers in the wrong places, maybe. Oh, well, I mean, all I'm thinking is I'm feeling really tired. And what am I going to do? And, you know, I was like, oh, I'm going to try and squeeze this in. It's 4:45 here. Go and try and squeeze a bit more work in. But you know what? I won't do that work well. It will tip me over the edge. Better to unwind for the evening, get up tomorrow, go again with a clear brain.
Yeah.
But why is that, you know, and I have to tell myself, I'm going to have to like wriggle against my own kind of, oh, but you could just do a little bit. But
yeah,
we know, really.
It's the beliefs about what that means about you, that you can't do it right now. Yeah.
So, because we could just keep going, we're keeping going towards exhaustion, not more joy.
Exactly. That's it.
This has been, unbelievably enlightening. Again, one of those, I remember when I first read any kind of intuitive eating books, and I was just like, all right, I'm about to unpick everything I thought I already knew.
Right.
But that's a gift, isn't it? So maybe this is one of those do you think my husband will say I'm on 2 years of rest. You look after the kids. I doubt it, but I can definitely wiggle towards it. Yeah, it's been really inspiring. I've got two more questions before I go, or you go, or we go. Where can people find you, and where can they get your new book? Woo!
Yes, you can find me on Instagram, because I'm still addicted at the Fuck It Diet. I'm there way too often at the Fuck It Diet. And you should be able to, in North America and in the UK, Ireland, Australia, and some EU countries too, you should be able to get the UK version. Get Tired as Fuck anywhere books are sold. Yeah. And I do know that right now, I don't know when this is coming out, but right now, a lot of people in the UK are asking me where the audiobook is. It's supposed to be available, but there's some issue in some way that they exported it or something. So it should be up. If it's not, if you want the audiobook, and I do read the audiobook, if you want it and it's not there, it should be available soon.
Great. It will be there imminently.
Yes, exactly.
Fingers crossed. Get fixed. And then my last question, in the theme of the podcast, if you could have an honest conversation with one person, who would it be and what would you say?
Oh my God. Do they have to be alive right now?
No.
Geez. I mean, honestly, this is like, I wonder how many people say this. I would love to talk to Jesus and be like, what the heck? Like, what's
real?
No
one else has ever said that, FYI.
It's just recently, I just feel like I'm just annoyed that like there's not more like transparency with spirituality. And like, is this for real? Like, do I really have to like, is it really? I don't know. I'm annoyed.
You just want a bit more, like.
Why is everything invisible? Like, just come tell me what the deal is, and I'll do it.
Give me a sign. Are you asking me to give you a sign? I mean, come on, Jesus, crack on with it.
You're real, you would appear to me. Okay?
Yeah, and me alone, actually. Well, I mean, we can only believe that if he's listening, that's going to happen. This could be like the turning point in your life. We hang up and Jesus comes
to you.
Just
wait for my next book. It's going to be called, I don't know what.
He'd be up. He'd give you a great chat, wouldn't he?
I just feel like I don't understand. Like, I don't understand when people are like, I found Jesus. And I want to be like, what do they mean? What can you offer? Like, I just don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't not believe. I just don't understand why I should have to believe without a conversation or an apparition.
Fair play. either or. Wow. Well, no one has ever said that before. Somebody recently asked to talk to their dog, so it's a different time.
Oh, well, okay. That would be my second.
What, to have a chat with your dog?
I'd love to know everything she thinks. I want to know why she's afraid of cardboard boxes so badly.
Okay, so Jesus or a chat with your dog, or you can have some kind of lovely meeting of minds and all three of you have a chat. That could be a very interesting turn to the end of the week. Absolutely amazing. Thank you so much. It's been, been an amazing and very necessary conversation for me, I think.
Oh, it's so wonderful. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, well, that was a bit of a wake-up call, because genuinely I am very tired, which is, as is every parent, or as is everybody. But yeah, I've been thinking that I need to go and crack on with a load more stuff when I got off this, but I'm not gonna. I'm gonna try and not consume anything more, do anything more, and most of all, I'm not gonna feel guilty about it. As Caroline was talking, I was trying to pinpoint where these narratives come from, this idea about productivity and self-worth based on what we're doing and not letting people down. And they're all kind of figments of our imagination. Yes, they might have been things we've heard from teachers or parents or colleagues, but that internal dialogue that just keeps us driving forward, and for a long time is very useful, I suppose, because it acts as motivation. But when that motivation isn't satisfied with the end result, then I guess we've got to start thinking of that as an alarm bell. And also just really, really valuing rest. Holidays, weekends, evenings off, lie-ins, not going to happen with small kids, just having a lovely sit down. Here's to doing more of that. And thank you so much for listening to another episode of But Why. I'm always grateful to have you here. I'm always up for some feedback too at butwhy@clemmytelford.com or on Instagram. And please do rate and review and subscribe. These things make a huge difference to how many other people get to listen to the podcast. And as I say, I was about to go and fold some washing, but I think I'm just going to go and have a quick lie down. So that's me. Look forward to catching up with you next week. Bye-bye.